Good morning. So, any superhero movie fans like the Marvel movies? Anybody know who Doctor Strange is? He's got that cloak that has a mind of its own. That's the sweater. So, I'll go ahead and apologize if this flips up. I didn't do it. The sweater did it, and it just moves around. I don't know what's up with it, but. Yes. Thank you, brother. Amen. Well, it is so good to continue in our series today. Behold, a Savior is born. This is our Advent series. And, you know, this is a time of year, certainly, I think most of us, at this point, it'd be hard to not focus on Christmas, right? Especially with the beautiful decorations everywhere. Such a joyful time this time of year. As we celebrate the arrival of Jesus, that first arrival, but then he's coming back as well, and excitement for that. Last week we talked about hope, the hope that fills our hearts. As we look at the scriptures, we see there's prophecies in scripture regarding Jesus' birth, the coming of the Messiah, and how he perfectly has fulfilled those prophecies, and so that gives us great hope. We also just this time of year as we think about Jesus being Emmanuel, that he is God with us, just fills us with joy and with excitement. And again, just knowing that any day, I mean, he's coming back. It could be today. I don't know when it is. The Bible says that none of us know when it is, but I can tell you that today it's closer than it was yesterday. And that is so exciting. So today we recognize the joy that is ours because of Christ's presence in our lives today and his promises for us. One of the activities in my family that we enjoy is making Christmas cookies. I enjoy eating them more than making them, but my wife is a great great cook, and she is. She shakes her head no, but she's just being humble. But that's one of those things. So we've got a date set up with our granddaughters and some of our kids to come over and as a family to make Christmas cookies. And if you ever do that, it's so fun with your kids or your grandkids. For us, I mean, you can do that from scratch, where there's the whole process with all the ingredients and measuring. Occasionally, because we know we're busy, I think it's just like working smarter and not harder. We get the pre-made rolls, and you just cut those. But then you can do your shapes, right? You can do your Christmas tree shape. What's that? Yeah. Our grandkids, like the oldest, you know, is just kindergarten. So yeah, they're small, and we're going to have them come over and cut out the little shapes, and then you bake them, and you put on the icing, you smear that around, and drizzle with chocolate, or put your sprinkles on there, and it's a lot of fun. And pray for me because I have cookie issues, so I am prone to eat about 12 too many. It's a miracle that I don't look like Santa, but. You know, if you are into the whole Christmas cooking thing like we are, you know, there's this anticipation as the house fills with this aroma of cookies, you know, and you're just like, oh, can't wait. You know, I've already got my cold glass of milk ready before they're even out of the oven, and I'm just ready to dive in. And there's an excitement, there's a joy with that anticipation of what's coming, right, with those cookies as you're getting ready to take them out of the oven. And as we look at the biblical narrative of Christmas, we see a lot of joy. You know, a lot of the characters who are waiting on Jesus to be born have a joy about them. And people had a sense, you know, even though they didn't have all the answers in that time there in Jerusalem, they in Bethlehem, they didn't know exactly the nature of everything coming, but they knew some of the promises, right? They knew that this is going to be Emmanuel. This is going to be God with us, and whatever that means, it's got to be good. So there's an excitement, and they knew that the Messiah was going to be born, and so the first thing I want us to recognize today as we get ready to look at Luke chapter 1, if you want to turn to Luke chapter 1, the first thing I want us to see is that joy can be found in what will be, not just in what is. Joy can be found in what will be, not just in what is. So in this Christmas story here, this account in the book of Luke, we're told about a woman named Elizabeth. She is pregnant. It is miraculous in the sense that the Bible says she's a bit older. And so we don't know the exact age, but it's worth mentioning. You know, it's there in the text that she is older. And so she's a cousin of Mary. She's about 6 months along. And Mary goes to visit her cousin, to go see Elizabeth. And they're both pregnant. And we see this joy in their interaction here. We're going to start in verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." So Mary's arriving here at Elizabeth's home, and this baby inside of Elizabeth in her womb leaps for joy.
Yeah.
And it says that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the reason that this baby is joyful, and we know that this is John the Baptist.
Yeah.
The reason that there's this joyful response from the baby and from Elizabeth is that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, is in the womb of Mary. You know, and just as Jesus being close can have a powerful effect on those present then, Jesus' presence has a joyful effect on his people today. Just the presence of God in our life, no matter what he's doing or what we detect, just knowing that he is Emmanuel, that he is God with us, can bring joy into our life. So Elizabeth, she praises Mary. She says, "Blessed are you because you have believed God. You've trusted his word. You're willing to submit to his plan for your life."
Yes.
You know, I read this text and I'm thinking, what is it? You know, there's a baby in the womb being joyful about another baby in the womb. And I'm like, what kind of sense does that make? You know, as I'm reading it, why would this baby? Because the baby Jesus that hasn't been born yet hasn't done anything. Hasn't done anything yet. And so why is there this joy? And I think we can learn something from this, because we can experience joy in our life not only from what is today, but because of what will be. Because of what will be in the future, because of God's presence in our life today and his intervention in your life and my life, good things can happen in our lives. Elizabeth and her child, they're rejoicing here in the presence of the Lord, but also in the fact that this has been long anticipated. There's been this looking to the prophecies of God for so long about the coming of the Anointed One, and there's an excitement about what can be. Verse 45 says, "Blessed is she," the words of Elizabeth, "blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Mary is blessed because she has heard the word of God, and she has received it, she has trusted it, she has believed it, and she just takes God at his word that if he said it, it will come to pass. And that brings joy.
Amen.
You know, sometimes just anticipating, a little bit of divine imagination, just anticipating what God can do in your life can bring some joy into your life, no matter what your circumstances are. You know, even in tough times, there's a lot of, anybody else ever have some tough times in your life? Is it just me? No, everybody, right? We all do. We all do. Yeah, if anybody told you that when you became a Christian, it was all just Skittles and unicorns and rainbows, right? They were lying to you. It's tough. It's tough to live on earth. And we go through difficult times, but you know, God can bring encouragement and joy into your life today, no matter what the difficulties are, just knowing he can do anything. There's nothing impossible with him. You know, I was thinking about one of the Christmas traditions when I was a kid. We would watch Charlie Brown Christmas. Anybody else watch that? Great, great show. They actually share the gospel. It's so cool. But in the story in Charlie Brown Christmas, Charlie Brown's having trouble getting in the Christmas spirit. And it's legit, right? I mean, he's really grieving how it's commercialized. And I mean, that burdens my heart sometimes. Just all the silliness that's brought in just from businesses to make money and things. And he's got a sad Christmas tree. Maybe that's part of the reason too. This pathetic little twig, right, that he has. But his friend Linus says to him, he says, "Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem." You know, we can have the same problem that Charlie Brown has. We can. There are reasons, absolutely, there are reasons in your life to feel depressed. If you want to focus on that, There's reasons in my life, there are problems when I just thought, you know, if I want to be Eeyore and feel like I've just got this cloud over me and be gloomy, I could find reasons to have that attitude. All of us could. You know, certainly just looking at the way that most of the culture interacts with Christmas and doesn't understand what it's about, that could really get you depressed. You know, what's going on in your loved ones' lives who don't know Jesus, if you want to focus on that, man, that could get you really downcast today. We could all do that, but along with that, we can choose joy.
Yeah.
We can choose joy because Jesus has come. Because Jesus has come to save us, no matter what else is going on in your life, if you want to focus on that reality that Emmanuel, God with us, has come to save us, no matter what you're going through, you can have joy in your life today, no matter what you're dealing with. Along with tears, along with sorrow, you can experience the joy of God today. You know, maybe I want to encourage you with this. I mean, I have things that are good things, that are godly things, that I am praying for, that on a heart level, on a deep level, often salvation matters with people in my life that don't know the Lord yet. I mean, it just grieves me. It breaks my heart to where I cry with tears and I cry out to God and I say, God, you went to the cross for them. I know you did. You said you died for everybody.
Yeah.
God, won't you draw them to salvation? Won't you bring them to Jesus? And I pray for that and I cry out to God for that. Our loved ones who are struggling with cancer, who are good, godly people, and I'm just,
Amen.
God, please heal them today.
Amen.
And I just want to tell you that, listen, here's the truth, okay? God's not done yet. He is not done yet. I have seen miracles in my life. I have experienced miracles in my life. I stand here because of a multitude of miracles in my life today. God is not done. Do not give up praying for the miraculous in your life or the lives of your loved ones. God is not done. He can intercede and he can do things that will blow your mind more than you can ask or imagine. He is an awesome God. You need to believe that today because it's true. But I want to tell you that even if he doesn't change whatever that situation is, there is still joy to be had in the Lord. No matter what, because of the presence of Jesus in your life, there is reason for you to have joy today, no matter what your circumstances. Second thing for us to recognize today, the good news of Jesus causes great joy. The good news of Jesus causes great joy. If you turn to chapter 2 there in Luke. Luke chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 8. Some of the other folks here in the Christmas story, the shepherds, I love these guys. You know, the shepherds, they were the least and the last and the lost in that culture. They were the hippie freaks, you know, back in that day. The free spirits out in the field hanging out with God's creatures. They were kind of remind me of me back in the day. Kind of free-spirited folks that everybody else looked down on. And all the proper folks in the culture thought, man, these weirdos, they don't even bathe. They just, you know, they just smell like sheep all the time. You know, some of that was legitimate. They probably didn't bathe as much as maybe they could have or should have. But there was this stigma, you know, in the culture that these folks were not trustworthy. And that probably wasn't really warranted, you know, more than anybody else being untrustworthy. They were just treated a bit unfairly. And so it's really amazing that this message of Jesus' birth comes to them. The first ones to really hear this awesome news of what's happening are the shepherds here. So starting in verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.
Amen.
This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Yeah.
So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. They spread word concerning what had been told to them about the child, and those who heard were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The middle of the night, outside Bethlehem, and this angel appears to these shepherds. And the Bible says the glory of the Lord, this radiance of the Lord. And I have no idea, but I just think that this amazing light just filled reality. Yeah. You know, I don't know if it was like strobing or if it was just a solid thing or whatever. Whatever it was, I mean, they are just terrified at the glory of God there and the angel appearing, and whatever's happening, it's not normal. Okay, this is really extraordinary. And so this angel brings this message and says, this is good news. This is good news for all the people, which is going to bring great joy. Great joy. And the good news of Jesus does that. You know, when we receive good news, it can really just take over your reality in the moment. I remember when Kim and I were invited to dinner by Cole and Elise, our oldest, and his wife. We went to, was it Grindstone Charlie's? Yeah, we were at Grindstone Charlie's. Heather and Dean, Elise's parents, were there, and some other family members were there. And they didn't tip us off what was going on, but there was something going on. And we're all there, and we're enjoying our dinner, and They
celebrating birthdays.
Yeah, okay, that's what it was. Under the guise of birthdays, but that was something else happening. So they announced that Elise was pregnant with our first grandchild. Now, if you know my bashful wife, you know she can be very exuberant, and Heather, Elise's mom, is the same way. They both, I mean, and it's beautiful and wonderful, and they're not timid about their emotions, especially joy. And so Grindstone Charlie's was packed, and we're in this side dining area, and like within 5 seconds, everybody in the restaurant knows something exciting's going on because they are screaming and yelling for joy. As soon as they realized why we were there, it wasn't sorrow, but just the tears, the crying, the shouting, and yeah, it was crazy. That's true. That's true. She did.
A guy came out,
yeah. There was a guy who, a cook who thought maybe there was an active shooter. Yeah, I mean, he just, people are just freaking out. It was amazing. But I mean, you think about all the 100 conversations going on in that restaurant before that announcement of that great news. There was all these other thoughts and emotions and conversations happening, but very quickly, that whole restaurant was just filled with excitement and joy because of the great news that we had received. You know, and I don't know, we were told to keep it secret, right, for a day or two. Don't put it on Facebook because we haven't announced it, but yeah. Right. I mean, once the restaurant knew, like 200 people in Kokomo knew, yeah. And it was probably being live simulcast on everybody's phones. I mean, because a baby was going to be born, because of a baby coming. What makes the announcement of the angels such great news and such joyful news is that a Savior, not just a baby, a Savior has come. A Savior has come, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Lord has come. And it is great news. It is wondrous news. And these shepherds get it. Because they're sinners. You know, they're just ordinary folks like me and you. They understand their weaknesses and their brokenness and their failings. And they know they need a Messiah. And he's here. He's come. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. They know that Emmanuel has arrived. And this is great news. And what do they do, man? We got to tell everybody. Yeah. Everybody needs to know this. This is awesome. And so they go and they share with all these folks who are just like them, right? The beggars who need bread. Hey, God has sent the Messiah. Just like we've received this awesome news in this time of year, what a great time to tell the world about the truth and the love and the grace that are found in Jesus Christ. God has sent a Savior, His Son. Amen. We've got awesome news. No matter what other conversations are happening, pause, because you need to hear this. This is the news.
Yeah.
Jesus has come. The Messiah has come. And this news is for everybody.
Yeah.
It's for everybody. No matter what color, no matter what income, no matter what education level, no matter what flavor of sin they're into, whether that's different from yours, it doesn't matter. He has come for everybody to rescue everyone. Our third and final point to recognize this morning, the joy on the other side. The joy on the other side. If you turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews 12, verse 2. You know, the birth of Jesus that is described in Luke chapter 1 and 2, it's great news. It's fantastic news. But part of what makes it such awesome news, and we find this out later in the Gospels, is that Jesus didn't just come to be a wonderful baby, or even the Savior who's a baby. He came to be the Savior who would go to the cross. And that was always the plan. And Jesus knew, the Bible tells us, Jesus knew the joy waiting on the other side of all he was going to go through, that scourging and beatings and mocking and being spit upon and the weight of all of our shame and all of our guilt and all of our sin. And the Bible tells us he knew there was a joy waiting on the other side of that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 tells us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer or author, perfecter of our faith. You know, we fix our eyes upon Him daily in the Christian life. Because the only way that we can live the Christian life is depending upon Him, relying upon Him. Every day, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're told that Jesus endured. He suffered. But he endured the cross, took all of that humiliation because of the joy that was laying ahead for him. Joy on the other side of that pain, and certainly that included resurrection.
Yeah.
Praise God, he did not stay dead. He rose on the third day. He completed the will of the Father. He was exalted to heaven in glory, the Bible tells us. But part of that joy is you. He came to save you. He was born and lived and died and rose again to save you and to save me. And part of that joy is the fact that because of his sacrifice, you could have the opportunity to receive the grace of God.
Amen.
And to be washed clean and forgiven and made new in Jesus Christ. To experience the gift of his grace and his righteousness that we could never earn. And to know freedom from the power of sin broken by the Holy Spirit, to know the promise of a time coming when the presence of sin will be no more. Y'all looking forward to the day when there's no temptation to sin any longer? Oh, Lord. Oh. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Oh. We can have joy today. Listen, no matter, and I don't want to make light of it because I know some of you are in the deep valley right now. And it's okay to have tears. And the Bible says that Jesus knows our tears. And he invites the people of God to weep with those who weep, not to dismiss it or take it lightly, but to join in that sorrow and that grieving. But along with that, there's a joy. There's a joy in knowing what our Savior has done for us. There's a joy in knowing that he is coming back. He is coming back. I want to share with you just very, very briefly before we close a story, just a quote really from D.L. Moody. I think he said this really well. D.L. Moody said, "Happiness is caused by things that happen around me, and my circumstances will mar it. But joy flows right on through the trouble. Joy flows on through the dark. Joy flows in the dark as well as in the day. Joy flows all through persecution and opposition. It is an unceasing fountain that bubbles up in the heart, a secret spring the world can't see and doesn't know anything about. The Lord gives his people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience with him. You know, walking in obedience, here's what it means. It doesn't mean always being perfect, because you and I don't make the perfect choice all the time. It means just walking with the one who is perfect. It means doing like it says there in Hebrews, that we fix our eyes upon Jesus. He is worthy of your total attention, of your mind, of your heart, of your life, that your being is focused on him, and you're depending upon him. And when it comes to your sin, here's what you do. You put all your trust where God put all of your sin. That's upon Jesus, not upon you. You and I have bad days. You know, sometimes we don't walk out the Christian life the way we wish we would. There's a day coming we will. But we fix our eyes upon Jesus. And when we do that, we can say, you know what, I've got a joy. A joy, joy, joy down in my heart.
Yeah.
I've got joy because my joy isn't found in who I am or my circumstances. My joy is found in who Jesus is. My joy is found in Jesus. Anybody else?
Amen.
Would you say that with me today? My joy is found in Jesus. My joy is found in Jesus. And the beautiful thing is, he doesn't change. The Word of God says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if your joy is found in Jesus, the world cannot take it away. They cannot take it away. They can bring you to tears, but they can't take that joy away. It's a supernatural joy. You know, this is the season to be jolly. It is the season to be joyful, and it is the season to share that joy that we have in Jesus Christ with everybody. With everybody in your life. Would you join me in prayer?